a series of flukes and false intelligence, or went against him. Others have followed the interpretations given by Roman writers bent on justifying Octavian's imperial mission, and have viewed the triumph of Octavian as Roman retribution against an effete and lackluster Eastern spirit hostile to Rome and subversive of its best interests. Although we shall never recover the true story of what happened during those fateful days, there remains little doubt that they were critical in Roman history and of the utmost importance in shaping the Roman Empire of the future. The decade surrounding the composition of the Georgics must have been a difficult and disturbed period for the Roman citizens who watched anxiously as their world pitched perilously on the high seas of historical change. How different that world would become, they could hardly have surmised. Surely the era must have appeared to them more like the preceding decades of a century beset with civil strife and partisan duels for power, with campaigns of foreign conquest, with appeals to the Senate to declare a state of emergency, with recurrent economic and social crises, than like a storm before the calm of imperial glory, the Pax Romana to be ushered in with the reign of Augustus, the title conferred on Octavian in 27 BC. Nevertheless, Virgil and his contemporaries were eyewitnesses to the so-called last revolution in Roman history, and their hopes for the future, their conviction in the rightness of Roman ideals and Roman leadership, must have been sorely tried, challenged by some fundamental doubt as to whether any basis for the peaceful expansion of civilized life in the Western world would emerge from the chaotic struggles of the day. Even the perverse Antony was a different man who baffled Cleopatra whenever, as Shakespeare put it, a Roman thought struck him. This was the situation. A Roman world in the throes of violent change. Roman power fluctuating wildly, Roman loyalties divided, and Roman thoughts seriously endeavoring to solve the enigma of the future. That Virgil faced as he wrote the Georgics. At the request of Maecenas, the promising 34-year-old poet had undertaken a verse treatise on the subject of Roman farming. It was a tall order, as Virgil expressly remarked, and it must have seemed a rather outlandish assignment, only remotely connected with the current crisis in Roman affairs. It required, for example, attention to things far different from the contest for power, raging, dying out, flaring up again. Also, by the time Virgil, with characteristic deliberation and concern for the accuracy and fitness of his exposition, had spent 7 years on his task and brought it to a conclusion, Octavian had become fully established in power. Hence, in the Georgics, we encounter various allusions to Octavian's eminence and references to him as embodying the hope of the future. The poet's hindsight creates the illusion of foresight. On the other hand, it is little cause for wonder that we find Virgil recurring in the poem to thoughts of war and its implications, to preachments against it, to denunciations of its consequences. Virgil's attitude toward the cycle of aggression and counter-aggression we soon come to recognize as not simply one of emotional horror. He is not simply against war. Rather, he seems to sense how fruitless the cycle becomes once it is entered upon, how one conflict leads to another just like it. No such one-sided expenditure of human energy, he wants to show us, can contribute anything useful or enduring to human life. And many images in the Georgics presented themselves to Virgil's mind as contrasts between the ways of war and the ways of peace. In every book of the Georgics, references to war are made, sometimes dwelt upon. Over the whole work there glows a burnished contrast between the art of peace, whereby the indomitable farmer moves his curved plough through the earth, and the uncontrollable violence that would dispossess man of his rewards or distort the sanity of his behavior. Virgil takes note